like the beat, beat, beat of a tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick, tick, tock of a stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating you, 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 night and day. You are the one, only you, beneath the moon and under the sun.
The story goes that when Cole Porter first played the music for Night and Day for his friend Monty Woolley, Woolley sniffed, "I don't know what this is that you're trying to do, but whatever it is, throw it away. It's terrible." Porter didn't throw it away. And how lucky, says Melissa Block on NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday in 2000. She continues the tale. Cole Porter gave various accounts of how he came to write Night and Day. One thing is for sure, he wrote it specifically for Fred Astaire.
In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you, night and day.
Night and Day is the song with which a besotted Astaire finally captures the stubborn heart of Claire Luce on Broadway and Ginger Rogers in the Hollywood version, The Gay Divorcee. In the film, the producers replaced all of the original Cole Porter tunes except for Night and Day. The tune begins with one of the most unusual verses in popular song, pulsing, monotonous, insistent. Over the first 8 bars of the song, just one relentless note repeated 35 times. To great effect, says singer and pianist Steve Ross, there's a slight maddening quality to these repeated notes, I think, that sets you up for the obsession that is in this song. I never tire of singing it, and I love that it resonates immediately with people. I love the ah factor when you start doing it, after you build up the verse, and there's a little bit of tension in the verse, and people say, what is that? Do I know that verse? Do I know Night and Day? People go, ah. As Steve Ross suggests, listeners do know that song, and that's a key for us here. What happens when people hear Night and Day in a choral arrangement? Critics remind us that most listeners come to a Broadway song with a distinct, fixed memory of the original cast, Fred Astaire in this case. But what happens when they hear that tune performed differently? Choral arrangements consciously play with their expectations. Hearing a familiar melody recast with unexpected a cappella jazz harmonies or sudden dramatic changes in dynamics creates a pleasing aesthetic friction. This fresh perspective makes a well-known song feel simultaneously nostalgic and entirely new.
Burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
So what is happening there? Musicians point out that the impact of hearing choral arrangements of Broadway tunes relies on shifting individual theatrical narratives into shared group experiences, and this can alter how an audience experiences the story, the emotion, and musical texture of a show tune. Many argue that a single Broadway character expresses internal, personal conflict or feelings, and often in a choral rearrangement for a full vocal ensemble, that effect can be amplified to a human emotion that draws us all in that moment. We know that Broadway solos are built for character-specific storytelling, tracing an individual's distinct internal journey. For example, Anya discovering her identity in Anastasia, reimagining a solo into a full choral setting, transforms a private confession into a broader community-like sentiment. A single character's grief or hope, and in this case, yearning, expands into a shared, multi-voiced human experience, deepening the emotional resonance for all of us. The Arcadia Chorale invites us in to an array of terrific tunes. The Arcadia Chorale will present a program titled Pops Concert, Legends of Stage and Screen, Broadway, Hollywood, and the Golden Era of Song from the 1930s to the 1970s. And it's this Friday, May 15th at 8 p.m. at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton in collaboration with the Doug Smith Trio. The concert program will include Night and Day and many other favorites. Matthew and Doug came together here at the WVIA studios to talk about the Arcadia Chorale and its longtime partnership with the Doug Smith Trio, Matthew Rupsich.
We're culminating our 25-26 season with this upcoming Pops concert with the Doug Smith Trio. But our season is, I'll say, all-encompassing. We have quite a wide spectrum of music that we cover throughout this season. We open up with an October concert. We typically do two concerts for every of our programming. And that's typically art music that we focus on, classical music, and music that we could bring to the community at a high level. And then we typically do a Christmas or holiday concert, which is in the beginning of December. And then we continue with the very popular Messiah sing-along in December. And then when the new year starts, we take quite a bit of time to get ready for the annual NEPA Bach Festival. This year was our 39th annual NEPA Bach Festival, and next year we'll be celebrating our 40th, which is exciting. And then we close the season actually with two things. One is this wonderful concert coming up entitled Legends of the Stage and Screen, Broadway, Hollywood, and the Golden Era of Song between the 1930s and the 70s. We collaborate with the Doug Smith Trio, which has been great. And we've been doing that for numerous years, longer than I've been with my tenure with the chorale. And then I have added one other thing to our concert season. In June, the third weekend in June, we put a small choral festival together where we invite singers in the area to come and join and participate with Arcadia Chorale. And we typically put on a larger work. And this is our fifth anniversary of doing the Summer Sing. And this year we are doing Carl Jenkins' Mass for Peace, very, I'll say, apropos for our time period now going in the world. And with that being said, we're doing the choral suite from the whole piece. So we're extracting some movements recommended by actually Carl Jenkins. So the smaller choral suite coming from the Mass of Peace.
And Doug, you have your trio, you have a big band, you have all kinds of configurations of players. But usually when you have a vocal, it's usually a vocalist or two, right?
Right. That's right. And what's been such a pleasure for me, aside from having done it for so many years, probably around 20 years, I guess, possibly. But even though I've played bass for probably around 60 years, really my favorite type of music to listen to is a cappella choral music. I mean, I just get so much enjoyment out of that. It's just organic. You know, it's just something that really I just connect with. So what's been great for me, other than, you know, working with the chorale, is that I'm immersed. I'm not a great singer myself, but I get to be right in close to the chorale and have that wonderful music and harmonies surround me. So it's really enjoyable in a couple ways. We get to play some kind of jazz background, and I get to hear that beautiful music.
Tell us who will be with you in the trio.
Yeah, it's been the same pretty much for a number of years. R.J. Kennedy is on drums, who works with me for many years. We're up at Skytop with that band. And Marshall Kornblatt, whom I think you know, plays piano, and he's been a big supporter of the chorale also. And we've played together for, I don't know, probably 30, 40 years on and off. You know, he's not living here full-time now, but going back to when Lynn Harris was around and Jimmy Waltich and those guys, I mean, that's when I first met Marshall, and we've gone back quite a few years, so I'm lucky to have that trio.
I'm intrigued by the way you put together a program, Matthew, but when it's you and the chorale, you can choose what you like, perhaps, but when you're going to collaborate, maybe it's not the same? How does that work out?
What I typically do is I talk with Doug in the summer, and I talk to him about my theme. What is, you know, what does he think about my theme? Can this work? Usually I get the okay, and he's like, yeah, we've really sound good. Let's move forward. And then basically then in the spring, we touch base. I share an outline of what pieces I'm thinking about, again, checking in if we're in line with each other. And then I would say probably about 2-3 weeks ago is when, you know, we put everything together. And that's how we have worked in the past and worked well.
What about arrangements for chorus and trio like this, Doug?
Well, it's really been a pleasure working with Matthew, because from my experience, there's some very talented choral people, some very talented Broadway people, very talented, of course, classical. But Matthew really does bridge all the gaps, and he's got a good sense of working with his people, who it's a great experience for them because they don't always get to do this kind of music. And he's really good at guiding them with the talent they have into this genre. But he's really got a good handle on how to combine the talents that he already has with some inexperience that they may have had with this kind of music. And I think they really enjoy, you know, the experience.
I would agree. And I'll say it, the respect is mutual. I mean, it's so great to have Doug Smith come in with his buddies, if you would, and to accompany us. And when that connection, that intersection, when we come together, he brings out much more in us because of that background music. And so we're able to, I would even say, lighten up a little bit more. And he brings so much to the table. So it's really fun to come together and create this program.
You always are pleased and proud to bring soloists forth from the Arcadia Chorale. Is that the case this time?
Yeah, how I try to arrange the program, I select my theme, as mentioned, and of course I let the chorale know, and I have open auditions for folks to come in to sing, to do some solo work, not just within the choral pieces, but also stand-alone pieces where they get to sing with the Doug Smith Trio if the piece works. And that's been a wonderful addition of what we do. And I know they have also have done that in the past. But yeah, we're highlighting singers. I have Catherine Carter singing, Jamie Butcher singing, Becky Elfman, Rebecca Elfman, Patrick Fisk. We have Gabriella Tallerico. We have Lauren Picotti also singing a wonderful piece, actually, from A Chorus Line. It's great. They get that opportunity then to sing with Doug Smith as well.
And you have a home base that is ideal for this kind of a concert?
But yeah, the venue, which serves us very well, we're at Covenant Presbyterian Church. Typically for our concerts, we would perform in the sanctuary. But for this event, it's very different since calling it a Pops concert. And so we're in the Sawtelle Auditorium, and it suits us well. There's a stage, there's a little pit where we put the Doug Smith Trio, and it works for us how we light it, how we use the sound system, as well as how we set up tables. And it's a very welcoming, fun, inviting event.
Which pieces have you chosen?
Sure. So we're doing a lot. As we bridge and intersect these types and genres of music, such as Broadway, Stage and Scream, and the Golden Era Song, we're doing things like Cheek to Cheek, Stormy Weather. We're doing quite a bit of Rodgers and Hammerstein, It Might as Well Be Spring from the State Fair, I've Dreamed a Dream, which is lovely. Doug, with his group, is going to be performing Summertime from Porgy and Bess, as well as the Surrey with the Fringe on Top from Oklahoma. You'll hear On the Sunny Side of the Street, The Way You Look Tonight. I appreciate what Doug said about hearing the chorale and doing some a cappella music. We'll be actually doing two numbers that are a cappella. One is from I Dreamed a Dream that we're doing. It's really, really quite lovely. And So he will have an opportunity to hear the chorale do their a cappella music.
And you were suggesting to some degree working with Doug and the trio might lighten up the chorale that has just performed Bach. Doug, how do you calculate? We know between and among players in your ensembles, you know how to do that. But what about working with the Arcadia Chorale?
Yeah, that's actually you asked exactly one of the things I was going to mention. And that's, as usual, you're really right on top of it. But they're used to being very precise with, of course, emotion in their singing, working with classical things and everything. But in this situation, I mean, there is a certain amount of rigidity you have to follow, but they have a chance to be a little looser and be a little more expressive and take a few liberties and so forth. And I think, you know, usually having worked with most of them for quite a few years, we've gotten kind of a rapport back and forth. And I think they really enjoy not having to worry about every tiny technical aspect, but to relax a little bit more and to get into this kind of music and express themselves.
That's really fun and interesting to listen to. I bet members of the chorale will comment and say, well, you know, Matthew really makes sure things come together precisely and we're sensitive to those things. But it's what I would also describe is just the feel of what we do is much easier in a way because of the style that it represents. And that when I say easier, I'm not necessarily saying the music, but I'm saying about how one performs it, how one can interpret. There is more wiggle room to interpret this type of music in different ways versus, I'll say, doing a Brahms piece. So it allows us to show our flexibility, that we could do much more with it vocally.
And also Matthew puts together a nice potpourri of different combinations of singers. Of course, there's some soloists. There's some duets usually and some trios, maybe sometimes four people. So it's really interesting for the audience and interesting for the, you know, for the singers to work in those different combinations too.
What about demeanor? We're talking about singing a little bit easier. In singing the Brahms Requiem and singing Rodgers and Hammerstein, they relax a little body-wise. Is that important?
Sure. I think what's important, how I work, we have to have a foundation of how we produce sound with our tone production. And that never wavers with me. And that never wavers with the chorale because that's a high standard that we have. But what's also connected to that, it does allow us to interpret, as Doug said, interpret the songs a little differently that allows us to even be more expressive. I could hear my singers maybe laughing right now because I really challenge them to be expressive even when they're singing, you know, from the Bach Festival a couple months ago to our Christmas concert or October concert, even the Messiah. But it's a different kind of relaxation or intent. And I think what's also important is that I really challenge the chorale that no matter when they sing Brahms, they should, or Bach or Schubert. Schubert was part of our Bach Festival this past festival, that they can't sing a piece like Day of Wine and Roses like they're singing the Bach. So I really challenge, and I think one of the things I'm very happy with the chorale, is they have such a range of color, a range of timbres, a range of sounds that are applicable based on the genre that they're doing. And I'm really proud of that. But again, I think it's really important to note, it's all dealt with in a very healthy way, and it's with a strong intent on technique, and then being able to shape things differently based on the genre of music that they're singing.
Doug, when you and your ensembles play, I don't know, we call these standards, these lovely pieces from Broadway and film and ones that we love and love to hear, when you're getting ready and you're loosening up and stuff, do you hear some of the great performances that you know, if Ella did Stormy Weather, do those things come to you when you're getting ready for a performance?
Yeah, that's another good question. Of course, those things are just all kind of in the back of my mind and mixed around and floating here and there. And they do bring out, you know, memories and certain performances, you know. And the other thing with this concert is, much of what I do is, much of the other music that I do, there's a lot of improvisation involved. Of course, there's a certain amount of things that have to happen exactly as, you know, melody and so forth. But working with the chorale, it kind of gives us both, you know, I don't do a whole lot of reading at this point in my life. When we do the big band, of course, I'm reading. When we do, we're backing up a singer that has an arrangement, we'll do some reading. But it's actually been good for me to get a little more back into that, because certain things, they're completely arranged and we have to follow. And then some things, of course, the song has to happen the way it exists. But there is an element of some improvisation, some looseness. But to answer the first part of your question, yeah, I definitely take into consideration the history of some of the songs, sure.
I've been coaching some of the singers, of course, on their solos and duets and stuff coming in. And we sometimes get to a point, it's like, okay, well, we'll just have to wait a little bit till our first rehearsal with the trio to really know how we're going to shape and make this happen. And that's kind of nice to be able to do it. So that shared sort of improvisation happens a little bit with the singers as well. I mean, we have a structure and format, but, you know, well, maybe we want to change something. Let's see if the trio wants to add something or do something. And I'm more than flexible to make that happen. I would say on the solos and duets and the standalone pieces, as Doug mentioned, it's a little more difficult to do that on a choral, you know, octavo, but we do have opportunities to do that, which is nice.
Another thing that's fun for me working with the chorale and this event is, for most of my career, I've worked with Jimmy Waltich. And as you know, his wife, Sukasa, is a wonderful classical pianist, and she is the pianist for the chorale. So she is also there performing for some of these pieces. And a few of them, I actually get to play with her, which rarely would ever happen normally. So that's a lot of fun just because of the friendship and the variety.
Absolutely, that's true. That's great.
And she's and I always have to be more on my toes when I'm playing, because if I miss it just a half a step, I'll get a little look. She keeps me in line.
I think Sukasa, as the collaborative pianist for Arcadia Chorale, keeps many people in line.
Matthew, have you noticed, has anybody spoken up just casually, any of the members of Arcadia, big Broadway musical fans? Are there?
There are. And I think, you know, some people would, in some ways, I think, like to see, in some ways, the Pops concert to possibly move in that direction. And that's something that the crowd and I can discuss. But absolutely. I mean, people, when I mentioned that I was going to have this opportunity of doing Broadway pieces, and I've done it in the past, but to be very specific, yeah, people are getting really excited. And I will share with you that Gabriella Tallarico, she's doing a wonderful piece from Company. She's doing The Ladies Who Lunch, and it's a powerhouse, and she sounds incredible performing it. And that's going to be a highlight of the performance as a standalone piece.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming they're fat and looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat? I'll drink to that. Here's to the girls who stay smart. Aren't they a gas? Rushing to their
classes. We're hearing The Ladies Who Lunch from Company, and this is singer Barbara Walsh. We'll hear The Ladies Who Lunch from Company, and that will be part of a very special Pops concert. We heard from Matthew Rupsich, artistic director and conductor of the Arcadia Chorale, and bassist Doug Smith, speaking about the program. And the program is titled Legends of Stage and Screen, Broadway, Hollywood, and the Golden Era of Song from the 1930s to the 1970s. And it will take place this Friday, May 15th at 8 p.m. at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton.
and the Arcadia Chorale will be working, as it has been for so many years, in collaboration with the Doug Smith Trio, Doug Smith on bass, Marshall Kornblatt on piano, and R.J. Kennedy on drums. And for more information, you can find the Arcadia Chorale online, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org. That's a Pops concert titled Legends of Stage and Screen, Broadway, Hollywood, and the Golden Era of Song from the 1930s to the 1970s, this Friday, May 15th at 8 p.m. at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton. That's 550 Madison Avenue. And Arcadia Chorale, in collaboration with the Doug Smith Jazz Trio, will present a program including Night and Day and Stormy Weather and The Ladies Who Lunch and so much more. For more information on the web, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org.
Love to you day and night, night and day.
Doug Smith is very pleased and proud that he and his Dixieland All-Stars will pay tribute to their late friend and colleague, trumpeter extraordinaire Bobby Baird, at the Fine Arts Fiesta on Public Square in downtown Wilkes-Barre this Saturday afternoon, and that will be May 16th at 4:30. And it's a salute to someone who has entertained and delighted audiences, listeners here in our region and outside the region for so many years, playing with Doug Smith and his Dixieland All-Stars at the Fine Arts Fiesta and many other venues. So that's Saturday afternoon at 4:30. But again, it's the Arcadia Chorale with the Doug Smith Trio at 8 p.m. this Friday at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton, 550 Madison Avenue, arcadiachorale.org.